Unless you're tempted to think that I've lost the plot, which I might be, I do know that it's Thanksgiving. I've said that several times over. And we can see it's Thanksgiving because the church is decorated for Thanksgiving. We've got these wonderful baskets of fruit at the front, and we have this special harvest loaf on the altar, and we have arrangements on all the windowsills, and so it's beautiful, it's looking great for Thanksgiving, and we're thankful not least to the people who were in yesterday morning decorating the church for harvest as part of their act of giving thanks. So I know it's Thanksgiving, however I did want to begin my words this morning with some words from a Christmas song. So, okay, I know where we are in the year. Bear with me. It's Christmas time. There's no need to be afraid. At Christmas time, we let in light and we banish shade. And in our world of plenty, we can spread a smile of joy. Throw your arms around the world at Christmas time. But say a prayer. Pray for the other ones. At Christmas time, it's hard. But when you're having fun, there's a world outside your window, and it's a world of dread and fear, where the only water flowing is the bitter sting of tears. And the Christmas bells that ring there are the clanging chimes of doom. Well, tonight, thank God, it's them instead of you. The song continues, but I want to stop it there, because when I heard those words more than 30 years ago, in 1984, when they were written by Bob Geldof and Midge Ure for the song Do They Know It's Christmas? Feed the World, I was arrested by those words. Well, tonight, thank God, it's them instead of you. And I thought, well, how can that be? How can I possibly thank God that it's them instead of me? And I remember talking to one of my housemates about this, and she didn't seem to see the problem. She thought, well, yes, you know, the starving people in Africa, well, thank God I'm not one of them. And you sort of think, well, yes, but surely there's more to it than that. And there is. But when we come to Thanksgiving, and we are moved to give thanks for all the good things, our minds, I'm sure, inevitably shift to those who do not have what we have, those who are having a harder time in life than we're having. We think of the people in Puerto Rico and the other islands battered by the hurricanes and still facing more storms coming, or in Mexico, and the people who died and were injured in a shooting this past week in Las Vegas. Earlier in the year, but now off our TV screens, the people who suffered from the Grenfell Tower fire in London. And once again, there is famine in Africa, in Somalia and Ethiopia, perhaps even worse than it was in 1984. Yes, it does make me, I'm sure it makes us, grateful for what we do have. But I still feel a little conflicted about thanks, especially when it's put in the way of tonight, thank God, it's them instead of you. Another quote that illustrates to me the two-edged nature of Thanksgiving is from Ralph Waldo Emerson, where he says, cultivate the habit of being grateful for every good thing that comes to you, and to give thanks continuously. Sounds a bit like St. Paul. And he carries on, and because all things have contributed to your advancement, you should include all things in your gratitude. Because all things have contributed to your advancement, in other words, brought you where you are today, you should include all things in your gratitude. And again, some of us may find that quite challenging, especially if you find yourself in circumstances now where it's quite hard to see that it's bringing you to advancement, that it's moving you on in your life. And yet, again, we're challenged by these words, not just to give thanks for all the good things, that's the easy part, but to give thanks for all things. And I'm reminded of the story of a Lutheran pastor in Prussia who became the pastor of a particular church in a particular walled city in 1619. And for those who know the history of Prussia well, will know that was the year that the 30 years of war began, 1619. And the pastor's name was Martin Rinkart, and he became pastor in that year, and he was pastor of the church for 30 years. Throughout the 30 years of war, and he stopped being the pastor in 1649, when he died. And the same year, the war ended. And during that 30 years, because it was a walled city, it took in all the refugees who were fleeing the fighting. It had great scarcity, there were famines, inevitably there was disease and plague, and it was a pretty hard time. And that was the whole of his ministry, 30 years in this little city in Prussia. And if you look, you don't have to do it now, I'll do it for you. Hymn number 399 in our hymn book, you'll find this hymn. Now thank we all our God. And you look down below and you see the text was written by Martin Rinkart, 1596 to 1649. A great hymn of thanksgiving, written by a man who must have seen so much suffering in his 30 years of being pastor of that church in that old city in Prussia. And I'm reminded of a little pithy aphorism that I read this week, which is that our greatest success can lead to our greatest failure, which is pride. And you can see that happens, how that happens. You know, you're very successful, and you think, oh, I'm pretty good, I've done all this, look at my achievements. Pride, our greatest failure. But the aphorism continues. Our greatest failure can lead to our greatest success, which is humility. Humility, or having a realistic view of ourselves and our situation in the world and who we are and where our gifts and talents come from, that they're not our own but are gifted to us. So again, if it's true that our greatest failure and our greatest failures lead to our greatest successes, then we can give thanks for those things that humble us, even though we may not like being humbled at the time. So let's just back up a second. We're talking about thanksgiving, we're talking about giving thanks, we're talking about gratitude. And I actually think they are three distinct things, or three phases. It begins with gratitude in the heart, and then moves on to giving thanks, saying thank you to whoever it is that you are grateful to. And then the third phase, it's slightly different from giving thanks, which I reckon is giving thanks directly to the person you wish to thank. There is thanksgiving, which is something more than that. That is giving thanks, acknowledging to the world, to the creation, the gratitude that is in our hearts. It's almost like a third person. The first person is the gratitude in your heart. The second person is saying thank you to you. And the third person is giving thanks for all that is given to us. Thanksgiving. In preparing this, I, of course, Googled gratitude and thanksgiving, came up with a whole load of definitions, which I won't go through with you now because, you know, it gets a bit repetitive. But essentially, these definitions are saying that gratitude is something that is within. It's an emotion, it's a virtue, it's a character trait, it's an impulse, it's a moral sentiment. It's something that is within, but also it is a reminder of our connection to one another. It begins interiorly, but causes us to look out and strengthen the connections that bind us together. One psychologist says that there are two phases of gratitude. The first is the acknowledgement of the goodness in one's life. And the second is to recognize that it comes from outside of oneself. Yeah, we can see that. It's kind of what I just said about it beginning inside and then causing us to look out. But still, I find that a little unsatisfactory because it seems to be a bit passive. Now, it doesn't have to be, and I believe in its truest sense it isn't. But sometimes I think we think of thanksgiving as being passive and not active. And that, maybe that's why I have a problem with Bono in that song, you know, the token Christian in a composite band, singing, "Tonight, thank God it's them instead of you." It almost sounds like, okay, well, tonight, thank God it's them instead of us, so at least we can put our feet up and not have to worry too much. No, I can't deal with that. Some of you who check your Facebook on Saturdays, if you're on Facebook, might have seen that on the church's Facebook page, I posted a quote from David White about gratitude. And I'll read it to you now. David White is a poet, as will become evident from the words that you'll hear. They're quite poetic. He's more than a poet. He's also a speaker. I know it's a bit of a cliche to talk about motivational speakers, but when he speaks, one finds oneself motivated. One finds oneself inspired. And he writes this: gratitude is not a passive response to something given to us. Not a passive response to something given to us. Gratitude is being awake in the presence of everything that lives within and without us. Gratitude is not something that is shown after the event. It is the deep a priori state of attention that shows we understand and are equal to the gifted nature of life. Not something that happens after the event, which is what you'd naturally think, that someone does something kind for you, and then afterwards you thank them. But no, gratitude is actually already there, the a priori state of attention that shows we understand and are equal to the gifted nature of life. Life is a gift. Gratitude is about realizing that and rising to that. Gratitude is the understanding that many millions of things come together and live together and mesh together and breathe together in order for us to even take one more breath of air. You only have to think about the clothes you're wearing, where they come from, the fabric, how that came to be. Did it grow from the earth? Was it made in some sweatshop far away and transported and brought to a shop? And all the things. Gratitude is the understanding that many millions of things come together and live together and mesh together and breathe together in order for us to take even one more breath of air. The underlying gift of life and incarnation as a living, participating human being is privilege. That we are part of something rather than nothing. Even if that something is temporarily pain or despair. Again, give thanks for all things. We inhabit a living world with real faces, real voices, laughter, the colour blue, the greener fields, the freshness of a cold wind, and the tawny hue of a winter landscape. To see the full miraculous essentiality of the colour blue is to be grateful with no necessity for a word of thanks. To see fully the beauty of a daughter's face is to be fully grateful without having to seek a God to thank him. To sit among friends and strangers, hearing many voices, strange opinions, to intuit inner lives beneath surface lives, to inhabit many worlds at once in this world, to be a someone amongst all other someones, and therefore to make a conversation without saying a word, is to deepen our sense of presence and therefore our natural sense of thankfulness that everything happens both with us and without us. That we are participants and witness all at once. We are participants and witness all at once. Thankfulness finds its full measure in generosity of presence. Thankfulness finds its full measure in generosity of presence. And here I'm seeing a glimmer that thankfulness and generosity go together, both through participation and witness. We sit at the table of every other person's world while making our own world without will or effort. This is what is extraordinary and gifted. This is the essence of gratefulness, seeing to the heart of privilege. Things are as they are, and they might have been otherwise. And even all the negative things have somehow contributed to bringing us to where we are. And I'm sure we can all think of stories in our own lives and our own families where something bad happened. But if it hadn't happened, then something else would not have happened. Thanksgiving happens when our sense of presence meets all other presences. Being unappreciative means we are simply not paying attention. Wow. There's a lot there, and we could spend a long time meditating upon those words, and we don't have time to do that this morning. But check out the church's Facebook page or Google Gratitude by David White, and you can spend time with those words. Thankfulness, gratitude, giving thanks is more than an interior emotion or motive or sentiment or anything that is passive. It is active. It is about being present. It's about being awake. It's also about action. And in our Old Testament reading from Deuteronomy, where the children of Israel are pictured to be on the edge of the promised land, they're about to enter it, and they're being given instructions for how to live in this wonderful land that they're being given, with springs and underground waters, valleys and hills, wheat and barley, vines and figs and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a paradise land that they're about to enter. And they're essentially told two things. In the rest of Deuteronomy, they're told a whole lot of other things. But here they're essentially being told two things. One is to be humble. Do not think that it's by your own efforts that you have got this. Remember where you've come from. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. Remember that you've come through the fearsome wilderness with its snakes and scorpions and all of that, and that God brought you to where you are today. Humility is the first thing they're told in that passage. The second thing is to not forget God which goes with that, and to obey his commandments. In other words, their gratefulness is not simply about giving thanks to God, but actually living life in the world, in the way that they understand God to have ordered them to live it. In other words, their gratefulness is not simply an interior emotion, but it's about action, and it's about how they live their lives. It's become a bit of a cliche, but you know this saying, and you know that it is true. And it's often been said that for evil to triumph, it is only necessary for good men and good women to do nothing. Evil to triumph, it is only necessary for good men and good women to do nothing. We are good men and good women, are we not? Don't seem too sure. I know you are. I know you are. So therefore, the question that this Thanksgiving for us is, what is the nothing that we're not going to do? Or getting rid of the negatives, let's turn it around and say, what is the something we are going to do as our expression of thanksgiving at this Thanksgiving time? Maybe this is an invitation to us to do something outrageous, extravagant, rash in our generosity. What could that be? How will your imaginations fire as to what expression of thanks, what extravagant expression you would like to make? Not that God needs to be thanked. God doesn't need our thanks. It's we're the ones who need to give thanks. What is your passion? Perhaps it's a passion for social justice, in which case, look at the causes that you support and see whether there's a project where you can actually make a difference. I'm not talking about simply bringing non-perishables for the Harvest Project. That's good, and that's appreciated. But something more. Perhaps you have a passion for animal welfare. Maybe you can make a difference in the lives of some animals. Maybe you have a passion for the arts. Well, how about becoming a gold-plated platinum supporter of Bard on the Beach or something? Why not? I mean, there's a bit of a kickback too, because I think you get to go to all sorts of wonderful extra performances and talk-back sessions. And in the booklet, of course, you have these divisions as to all the, you know, benefactors and their names. Of course, if we want to really practice Thanksgiving, we will make sure that our name is not in the book. Become a gold-plated platinum member, but do not let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. We can have fun with this, making extravagant, generous Thanksgiving gestures. And what about St. Francis in the Wood, this wonderful church? What about a gift to, well, us, to your fellow parishioners? We can always use more funds. And I know stewardship season is coming up, so you're going to hear lots more about that. Let's be imaginative in our generosity. Let's have a bit of fun with it. When Bono sang, "Tonight, thank God it's them instead of you," what I now understand he was saying is that if we are going to thank God it's them instead of us, then we're going to get up and we're going to go and do something about it. And you may remember the Band-Aid single, and the Americans did the same thing with their composite song as well. And then we had Live Aid both in Wembley and in Philadelphia. And you remember all the trucks they bought and all the grain they sent and what a huge effort it was. And you remember Bob Geldof standing on the stage at Wembley in his green sneakers and saying something like, "For God's sake, just give us your money."
Yeah.
He didn't sugarcoat it. Not known for subtlety, the man who wrote, "I Don't Like Mondays." One more thing. In our gospel reading, we heard that strange story about Jesus coming across 10 lepers. And he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." Because the priests were the only ones who could give them a certificate to say that they were no longer lepers and they could rejoin society. And we heard that one of them, a Samaritan, came back and fell at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And Jesus said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." And I don't believe that Jesus was referring there to the simple cleansing of leprosy. He was talking about something else. And when he says, "Your faith has made you well," we see here that this man's faith, this Samaritan's faith, was his gratitude and his expression of thanks. That was where his faith showed. And Jesus says to him, "Your faith has made you well, has made you whole, has saved you, has set you free." So what this says to me is that giving thanks is of more benefit to those who give thanks than it is to those to whom thanks is given. Truth be told, none of us need to be thanked. "I'm only doing my job," you could say. "I'm only responding to the generosity I've received from others." None of us needs to be thanked. But we all need to give thanks. We need to do that. Because that's what makes us well. That's what makes us whole. That's what makes us fully human. And the glory of God is a human being fully alive. We give thanks because it makes us better people. And perhaps may just make the world a better place.